is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Your voice, your vote. I'm Brian Clark. Vice President Kamala Harris kicking off her final campaign push.
Are we ready to do this? Yeah! We're ready to get out the vote? Yeah! We're ready to win? Yeah!
Beginning her day in Scranton, one of five stops in Pennsylvania, the biggest electoral prize of the seven battleground states. Former President Trump will be in Reading and Pittsburgh before closing his day in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He opened in Raleigh, North Carolina, with a message for hurricane victims in Western North Carolina.
Tell everybody to sit back, relax. January 20th, you'll see people come in and help you out like we did in the past.
There are also legal challenges. The Republican National Committee has sued the Milwaukee Election Commission, alleging that the city arbitrarily limited observers at polling places. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The U.S. Department of Justice will be at Wisconsin locations on Election Day. The Justice Department announced Friday that it plans to monitor compliance with federal voting rights laws in 86 jurisdictions in 27 states. In Wisconsin, those are the cities of Milwaukee and Wausau and the Rust County towns of Lawrence and Thornapple. Thornapple is currently appealing a federal injunction requiring it to bring an accessible voting machine back for Tuesday's election. The mayor of Wausau unilaterally moved the city's ballot drop box after discovering it was not properly bolted to the ground. It was later returned for use, but the Wisconsin Department of Justice is investigating. This election could help determine short and long-term control of the Wisconsin legislature. UW-La Crosse Associate Political Science Professor Anthony Chergoski says new legislative maps have opened the possibility for Democrats to flip seats in the legislature. However, Chergoski says if Republicans maintain control in the Assembly, it could mean problems for Democrats in 2026. Even with the new district maps, Republicans are certain to maintain a majority in the state Senate, where they currently hold a 22-10 edge over Democrats. Do not wear that MAGA hat or Kamala shirt to the polls when you go to vote. Lisa Hale reports.
When people are passionate about their candidate, they tend to wear that passion via garb. Megan Wolf, the chief elections official in Wisconsin.
So if somebody does come in with some type of political hat or shirt or other display of a position on the ballot, they're going to be asked to not come in with that on to potentially change it.
Wolf says any display of support for a candidate or for a position on the ballot is considered electioneering and is not allowed at the polls.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Packers lose to Detroit. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers had an early field goal, then trailed the rest of the night, losing 24-14 to the Lions at Lambeau Field. Dropped passes and penalties killed the Packers. Running back Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, man, a lot of self-inflicted wounds, a lot of momentum killers. You know, we've been getting away with a lot of it because we've been kind of masking it with the wins. But when you play a good team, man, you know, all the little things catch up to you.
The Packers now head into their bye week at 6-3 in third place behind Detroit and Minnesota in the NFC North Division. NBA, Bucks and the Cavaliers in Cleveland tonight. Bucks forward Bobby Portis says his home was broken into during Saturday night's game in Milwaukee and says several personal items were stolen. Baseball, the Brewers with two players winning Gold Glove awards for the first time since 1979. Second baseman Bryce Turang and outfielder Sal Frelick.
It's definitely cool, a little surreal still, and I think even cooler to do it, you know, with Bryce.
That's Sal Frelick with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Cloudy and dreary today, with scattered shower chances continuing, alongside a breezy south wind that's whipping up to 20 miles per hour today, with highs reaching the mid-60s. Tonight, we stay decently mild, lows fall to near 50 as the rain continues to ramp up and patchy fog is possible. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 66 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
He's a comedian, a writer, and an actor, and teaches comedy, one of Wisconsin's own. Dobie Maxwell joins me here on Nightlight. Hey, Dobe.
Pete Schwalbe, I am Chico. You're the man. Can you hear me? Is my Amish wood-burning computer plugged into the...
You got Amish. Oh, you got to update, buddy. I got gas powered and it's working like a charm. So it'll change your life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Liz Cheney, famous not Democrat, endorsed Kamala Harris for president.
I know that the most conservative of conservative values is fidelity to our Constitution.
Liz Cheney said that.
I tell you, I have never voted for a Democrat, but this year I am proudly casting my vote for Vice President Kamala Harris.
Patriotism above partisanship.
Listen to Rational Revolution with Mark Becker wherever you get your podcasts.
Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from our Madison studio where I welcome King of the Hill and Futurama TV writer Mike Rowe and musician Eric Gelland from Mascot Theory joins me in the studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. News from the center, WRCE.
What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wow, we're finally there. It's the week of the election. How are you feeling? How are you doing? Besides ready for all of this to be over, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. A lot of surprising things happening. First of all, Donald Trump is campaigning in North Carolina. A Democrat has not won the state of North Carolina in like half a century. So I'm going to take it as pretty good news that Donald Trump feels like he's got a campaign in North Carolina. We have incredible polling numbers coming out of Iowa indicating that Democrats are leading in four of Iowa's congressional races, which is, again, shocking. It's indicating maybe this whole, you know, women's civil rights thing might have some traction. So there seem to be some positive indicators. But again, all of this is a bunch of prognostication signifying nothing, right? Lots of sound and fury signifying nothing. What do you think? Do you want to make a prediction? 855-752-4842. Folks, again, you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, and tomorrow we're going to have you covered after you have made sure that your voice has been counted, that you have voted and been heard. You're going to want to tune in to Civic Media's election night special coverage starting at 6 p.m. As the results roll in, we'll have myself, lots of our colleagues, Todd Alba and Pat Kreitler, are going to anchor. We're going to have Jane and Greg kicking us off. Earl Ingram's going to give his two cents. We're going to have Dom Salvia, Dan Schaefer, and a load of special guests joining us over the course of the evening. I am really looking forward to it because it means we're now in the vote counting section of our democracy as opposed to the, oh my gosh, it's another day of the campaigning. And in case, you know, any of you may have forgotten some of what has been going on as of late within the last, you know, few days, let's refresh our collective recollections, shall we? I mean, it might be worth a little recap. Puerto Rico was described as a floating island of garbage. Kamala Harris was described as the devil and the Antichrist. Donald Trump mused about having Liz Cheney in front of a firing squad. He simulated oral sex with a microphone. You know, I mean, like, as I think of the characteristics and behavior that I want my president to demonstrate, it's definitely oral copulation. I want the simulating oral copulation. What? Yeah, that happened in case you missed it. He indicated again that he's probably willing to screw over our NATO allies again, because he's said this multiple times. He suggested he shouldn't have left the White House, even though he lost. Yeah, you know, in addition to Big Lie 1.0, it's like, oh, yeah, I just should have stayed. He declared that he, quote, doesn't mind if a would-be assassin kills a couple of members of the press. That's a good thing for Donald Trump. And he affirmed a rally goer calling Kamala Harris a prostitute. He's like, yeah, 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 she is. I mean, if in case anybody's forgotten, do you remember when John McCain was at that rally and he was taking, it was an actual town hall? I mean, no moderator, just John McCain walking around with a microphone to like take questions from the audience. Can you imagine Trump doing that? I can't. Anyways, John McCain at a Q&A, and some woman started attacking Barack Obama, saying that he was a Muslim and not from this country. And you remember what John McCain did? He's like, no, ma'am. No, ma'am. Barack Obama is a good man. He is not Muslim. Not that one can be Muslim. Anyways, you get my point. He corrected this lady's repeated inflammatory factual assertions and just shut it down. So we have policy disagreements, but he's a good man. You remember those times? Boy, wouldn't that be nice? 855-757-8558-752-4842. Oh, yeah, this one. Elon Musk, or, you know, the guy that's going to be in charge of the efficiency department, whatever the heck that is in the national. I don't want Elon Musk in charge of my grocery order, let alone like governmental efficiency. Oh, yes. Elon Musk promised the following if Donald Trump is elected. Economic hardship, turmoil, and a historic stock market crash. That's from his number one billionaire bro supporter. Like, that's what Elon Musk is like. Things are going to get really bad when Donald Trump is elected. So you should vote for him. All of these things happening. Of course, within the last month, John Kelly saying that Donald Trump reveres Hitler. That. Wants his generals to be more like Hitler's general. This one. This was good. Donald Trump indicating that RFK will be put in charge of federal health care. That's amazing. You know, since he's got a medical degree. Wait. No, RFK has no med. Since he's an epidemiologist. No. A virologist. No. Yeah. All these things just in the last couple of weeks. Just a little recap before we go in to tomorrow. I thought it might be, do we have time? Let's just find out here. Well, oh, we have a caller that wants to join us. Mac, what do you think? What do you think's going to happen? You got any big predictions for tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic. I think women are going to save us this time around. But I wanted to comment on what you just referred to, this Elon Musk stuff.
Yeah.
And I think for years we're going to have to analyze why so many people supported an administration and a candidate that, like you said, openly says that they want to inflict a whole lot of pain. They want to fire tens of thousands of civil workers. They want to bring us to our knees so that out of the ashes they can create some fascist state that, you know, oh, don't worry, things will be great under this new America, which they have done nothing to explain what that's going to look like, because why would they? But I think we're going to have a lot of people in therapy to understand what the hell they were thinking to support somebody like this. And I, I think it's going to take a long time to get over this, even if Kamala does win.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more on that. Thanks so much for listening and calling. Listen, everyone, if Donald Trump is even soundly defeated tomorrow, like let's say Kamala crushes the Cheeto. The fight is just beginning because the much more likable packages of the fascism, racism, misogyny, homophobia, et cetera, like they're all just waiting in the wings for their ticket to get punched and for them to be the new standard bearer of the MAGA cult like that. So like the real fight is starting on November 6th. Some breaking news, everyone. Apparently, the Republican National Committee, they just filed a lawsuit against apparently the city of Milwaukee, claiming its election commission had, quote, arbitrarily, end quote, limited the number of observers allowed in some of its early in-person absentee voting locations and would do so on the polls at the polls on Tuesday as well. I mean, how many election observers do you need? From the Trump campaign, why do you need like five or six of them? By the way, I've done poll observation, both partisan, both for party and independent in the past. You don't need more than two people, maybe three. If you're trying to cram a polling place with, let's say, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 observers, do you think you might be trying to engage in totally baseless voter intimidation? You think maybe that's happening? You think maybe your trick is to challenge anybody who looks Latino and object to their ballots? You think that might, you know, little racial profiling at the ballot box. You think that might be what's happening? The lawsuit claims that the city would also limit observers to one Republican and one Democrat at its polling locations on election day, thereby casting, quote, doubt on the administration of our elections and cause a lack of voter confidence in our electoral process. What? If y'all would stop lying, we would not have a voter confidence problem in our elections process. If y'all stop telling people completely made up garbage about non-citizens voting, which is not a thing. Only citizens vote. That is the law. It has been the law. Anybody that tells you that non-citizens are voting in significant numbers is a big liar. The city's top election official fired back, saying this: the election commission, quote, favors the greatest possible transparency during elections, and rebutting the RNC's claims. That is Paulina Gutierrez. We're actually hoping to have Paulina Gutierrez join some of Civic Media's special election coverage. Folks, you want to get your impressions in 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. We have an incredibly packed show for you today. We've got a new caller joining. Hi there, new caller. Let me know what your name is and where you're from. Good afternoon, sir.
I am Jordan. I'm here in Madison, and I just turned on the station today. And wouldn't you know it, I am actually going to be a poll observer for Wisconsin Democrats tomorrow. And I know that you had just been saying that the RNC has filed a lawsuit because of the so-called arbitrary limitations on the...
Yeah, we're going to have you hold the rest of that question. We'll take the rest of that gentleman's question, calling in from the road, and Madison want to hear about it more. He's going to be a poll observer. We'll come back with that caller and the rest of the Maggie Dawn Show lineup this election eve here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked, y'all.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
It's quiz time. Here's your first question. Which senator joined the extreme left in Washington, D.C. to send COVID relief checks to prisoners, including the Boston Marathon bomber? Answer, Tammy Baldwin. Who backed puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin? Once again, Tammy Baldwin. Next question. Which senator even supported castration and mastectomies for minors? Time's up. It does sound crazy, but that was Tammy Baldwin again. Over and over, Baldwin has sided with the extreme left in D.C. Baldwin is for they, them, not you. And now for our final answer. It's time to replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was. When they moved the camera, whenever there'd be like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Mama, what's wrong with America? Why can't we get along in America? Something's going on in America. People entertained by the predator. We used to be united in America. Now we just divided in America. We all immigrants, different characters, but together, you know, we could break down the barriers.
Welcome back, Wisconsin and beyond. I'm Maggie Dawn, host of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got a great lineup of guests today. In just a couple of minutes, I'm going to be joined by Rebecca Mears. She's the Director of Democracy Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're going to be talking about the literal operations of democracy, voting processes, voting integrity, why you can feel totally confident that your vote is safe and secure and that these elections are conducted transparently, accountably, and fairly. We're also going to be joined in this next half hour block after the bottom of the hour by two Republicans that are part of the Democracy Defense Project, Scott Klug, former congressional representative for the state of Wisconsin, and former Republican state attorney general J.B. Van Hollen. So keep it locked for all that. We're going to bring Rebecca on first in just a moment, but I wanted to get the rest of your quick calls and questions and comments. And Jordan from Madison, again, you're headed out to do Democratic poll observation. But you didn't have a chance to finish your statement, sir. So welcome back. What did you want to say in addition?
Thanks, Maggie. I wanted to let you know that some of us in the poll observer crew are actually going to be doubling or possibly tripling up in some precincts based on the number of people that are in line and the sheer volume of voters that are turning out. Basically, our job is to make sure that everyone gets a chance to cast their ballot, be it left, right, center, far right, doesn't matter what. Our job as poll observers is to make sure that every person that wants to vote gets a chance to cast their vote. And sometimes that's going to mean, you know, both observers inside and outside the polling stations. But, you know, it's like you were saying, we've got the safest and most secure elections.
Jordan, thank you for what you're doing. Again, I've done poll observation before. We want to make sure everybody's got their vote count. If there's something that can't get resolved there, folks, you can always ask to cast a provisional ballot, clear up your residency or your photo ID requirement within that next 24-hour period. So again, don't let anybody take your franchise from you. Cam from Appleton, very briefly, because we're working on getting Rebecca on here. What were your comments this afternoon, sir?
A plea to those that, like Gary or CJ, who might have already voted or are going to vote for Trump. I think you guys should go and find the recordings that had just released from a selfish media person that's just wanting to make a quick buck in their book that have Jeffrey Epstein talking about Trump during the administration period.
Yes. Yeah, that's Michael Wolff's stuff. You can go find it. Daily Beast gave it some coverage. Yeah, over 100 hours of Jeff Epstein human trafficker, pedophile, killed himself rather than face the music. Yeah. 100 hours of him talking about his very close personal relationship of with Donald Trump, between Jeffrey Epstein and Donald Trump. Ew! Cindy from Appleton, what do you have to say, ma'am?
Well, this whole lawsuit thing from the RNC just tells you how desperate they are to take democracy away from we the...
That's exactly right, Cindy. By any means necessary, it appears. Richard from Waukesha.
Go ahead. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. You hanging in there? We got a day and a few hours to go before the votes start getting counted. Yeah,
the stress is rough. But I've been thinking, you know, what did you mention? What state was that Mr. Trump was going to?
Yeah, North Carolina. He should have North Carolina sewn up by now. And the fact that he has to campaign there means he doesn't have North Carolina sewn up, which means that Trump is on the defensive. They're not liking their internal polling numbers.
I had a thought the other day, and now I heard this story about the lawsuit in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if he's trying to throw the election so he does lose, and he's just going to be in court or collect charity money.
Well, I think the thing about a con man, a con artist, a prolific liar at the level that Donald Trump is no matter what happens, he's going to figure out a way to take money out of your pocket to enrich himself. Again, no matter what the outcome, this is what con artists do. They roll with the situation. They figure out a way to leverage it to enrich themselves. So too here. With that, folks, cannot wait and am so excited to have a little chit-chat with our very next guest from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Her name is Rebecca Mears. She's the Director of Democracy Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. She was also an attorney at Elias Law and Perkins Coie. Now, you got to be a true wonk to know why those two law firms are very important, because this lady knows about election litigation. She has worked with one of America's finest election lawyers. You yourself, I am certain, are a very fine election lawyer as well. Thank you for your patience, Rebecca, getting you on. It's a busy day. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. If no one hears anything else from you, what do you want them to know about their election process in states like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Nevada, New Mexico, North Carolina, Georgia? I could go on. What should people in the swing states know about their elections?
Thank you so much for having me here, Maggie. And if there's one big takeaway, it is that our U.S. election system has checks and balances in place to ensure that our results are secure and accurate. And your voice really does matter. I put out a piece recently, The Power of One Vote, that discusses how just a handful of votes have made real life impacts on which candidates are elected, and beyond that, what that means for the policies that impact us and our families. So get out there and vote. There's still time left.
Plenty of time left. Tomorrow's the big, big day. I am telling everybody to make a plan. Chunk out at least 2 hours if you're going on election day. I don't want you to be caught unawares. There are going to be lines. People are showing up in record numbers across the country. Next question, if they only have time to listen to these quick two things, Rebecca, you got about 30 seconds. Are non-citizens voting in our elections?
No, non-citizens are not voting in our U.S. federal elections. This is just another same old playbook of election deniers trying to lay the groundwork to overturn the will of the people. Rest assured, our elections are safe and secure. Your vote matters. Americans are the ones who are voting. And let these, don't give these, you know, for lack of a better word, don't feed the trolls, right? Don't
Yes.
amplify misinformation. Don't let it get to you. That's not what's happening.
And if you see something that seems outlandish, whether it's for your team or not, if it seems truly like, whoa, what? Or makes you really, really mad, just assume it's probably not true, especially if you got it off of social media. Take 2 minutes and try to Google and find some reputable reporting on those very same things. Because, again, your vote matters. Get out there and vote. Have some patience. Be kind to one another. We're going to come back with more with Rebecca Mears, Director of Democracy Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're also going to add former Republican State Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen and former Republican Congressman Scott Klug. Back in just a moment here on The Maggie Dawn Show.
News from the Center, WRCE.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Wisconsin agriculture leans a lot on international business these days. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. And thanks in part to the Wisconsin Ag Export Council, they've found success. How much? Details on that next.
Now's the time to get right with Pivot Bio Nitrogen. The right source, at the right rate, at the right time, in the right place. Sounds good, right? And now is the right time to act. With zero payments, zero interest, and zero worry. Until December 1st, 2025, on the best source of nitrogen. Get right with Pivot Bio. For more information, visit PivotsProvenIt.com. That's PivotsProvenIt.com.
Chad Vinson is the current chair of the Wisconsin Ag Exports Council. He's also the CEO of Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. He said because Wisconsin offers many unique agricultural products, they've been able to move into certain places in the international marketplace that once were shut off.
Wisconsin makes more over half the country's specialty cheese, so we're used to making different, unique, value-added products. And because of that, we're able to really go in, meet with the customers, what do you really need, and create products for them. I mean, Ken Hyman at Nasonville makes a product for the Chinese market that's very unique. And the good news is they can't just stop buying it from Ken and buy it from somebody else somewhere else tomorrow. The ability to really understand what the market needs and to create it with the help of the infrastructure we have here and the 200 plants and the 200 different cheese companies, we're in a good position.
Chad Vinson, CEO of Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, also the current chair of the Wisconsin Ag Export Council, which began in 2021. Since that time, Wisconsin has been able to climb the ranks as far as international markets by two spots, now ranking 11th in the United States for agricultural exports.
Actor portrayal.
When I first looked into life insurance, I worried about the hassle. Then I found Better Life. Their simplified issue whole life coverage plans mean no medical exam. I found a plan that fit my budget, and now my final expenses are covered. Plus, I get Better Life member benefits at no extra cost. That's definitely better.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
And with the election now less than 24 hours away, Wisconsin farm organizations, commodity groups, and associations are reminding farmers to make sure that you slow down and let your vote count. If you're still looking for answers as to where you're going to vote or what's on ballots near you, you can jump online and just go to myvote.wi.gov. You'll see independent information available there on all of those items. myvote.wi.gov. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Cloudy and dreary today, with scattered shower chances continuing, alongside a breezy south wind that's whipping up to 20 miles per hour today, with highs reaching the mid-60s. Tonight, we stay decently mild, lows fall to near 50 as the rain continues to ramp up and patchy fog is possible. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 66 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
Darren Van Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden wasn't really concerned about hearing from the farmers after he got done being unhappy with you about an ad you made months ago.
Our members didn't get to tell their stories. And in the end, if you don't agree with each other, at least the conversation can happen. That really didn't happen.
One would think being in Congress would require a slightly thicker skin.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for Election Day coverage. Wisconsin Decides 2024. We'll have all the news of Election Day as it unfolds from our election headquarters. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Thank you.
everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more backwards.
Wake up. Tomorrow's election day. It's election eve. I'm excited. I'm scared. I'm nauseous. I'm optimistic. I'm nauseously optimistic. I don't know. I've lost words for it, folks. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I could not think of three better people to be talking to than my set of guests for this next half hour, however long they can share with us their love of democracy and their confidence and faith in the U.S. electoral system, especially here in the state of Wisconsin, but across all the swing states, to bring everyone back and up to speed. I am joined by Rebecca Mears, Director of Democracy Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. She used to work with attorney Mark Elias at Elias Law Group and Perkins Coie, where she specialized in campaign finance, voting rights, and election law. Thank goodness. She went to Stanford, too, if that resume doesn't quite do it for you. I'm also joined by much-beloved Wisconsin Republicans. Not just one of them, but two of them. Much-beloved former Republican attorney, State Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen, as well as former Republican Congressman for the state of Wisconsin, Scott Klug. J.B., welcome. Thank you so much for making time. It's a thrill to have you back with us.
Oh, thanks for having us on. Obviously, a very important topic, very timely topic, and I'm glad you're giving us some airtime.
Oh, my goodness. And Representative Klug, again, welcome back. Last time I spoke with you and your colleague, JB, we were at the RNC. It's a few months since. Welcome back. How are you feeling about tomorrow, sir?
Sir? I'd feel better if I could see you guys since I can't get my audio to work. So I think it's part of a deliberate campaign to mute my voice in democracy. So that's my spin on it. So I think tomorrow's going to be for a long night. Here's the problem, and it's one thing we should touch on with your listeners, is
please,
that Wisconsin and Pennsylvania are, whoop, I'll shut up.
Go ahead, Scott. Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, yes, sir.
Yeah, are two of the states that don't allow to count early voting and mail-in voting before the polls close, which means we're going to have another late night in Milwaukee and another late night in Philadelphia. And it would make a lot more sense if we change this law so we can prevent some of the chaos that will be inevitable tomorrow night.
Well, it didn't. This is how it's been for years and years. JB, I'll ask you to address this. Democrats in the state of Wisconsin tried to change this law in the last term to make it possible to start counting early votes and absentee mail-in ballots before 7 a.m. on voting day, but it got stalled. Can you explain to people why that's important, why it would be a good thing if we could start to actually open mail-in ballots and drop box ballots and absentee ballots before 7 a.m. on voting day?
Well, I think it just goes back to trust in the electoral system. We've done some polling, and I think you just listen to the general public and the media, and a lot of people just have distrust in the system and how it works. And most of that distrust is based upon a lack of understanding of how the system works. Mm. So an awful lot of accusations have been out there about late voting and, you know, stuff in the ballot boxes and things like that, because a lot of ballots get counted late in the day, when in reality they get counted late in the day because our law requires that, basically. So I think the most important part is to make sure that people appreciate, trust, and understand the electoral system here in Wisconsin.
Rebecca, I'll turn to you now. You have spent the great bulk of your career as a lawyer enmeshed and engaged in understanding these processes and explaining them. What are the few, like, if you could think of maybe two or three misconceptions or misunderstandings that people have that you think are really detrimental, what are the top ones that pop to your mind?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to echo what the other guests have said. I was going to bring up the lack of pre-processing ballots as an issue in Wisconsin as well. You know, a lot of people think that we will get results and final results on election day. We don't. We get some results, but not the final results. So make sure that you are patient and really allow election workers to do their job and ensure that every legal ballot is cast. But on the thought of something that a lot of people don't understand, I want to bring up election certification. So I just wrote a piece, a CAP article on election certification, what you need to know. Now, it's a lesser known part of the process. We've started to hear a lot of it because of frivolous lawsuits and attempts to really overturn the will of the people through this process. I want to be clear. Election certification, put simply, is the point in the process when officials prepare a statement to report the final vote totals for each candidate. By the time that step is reached, vote totals have already been through a rigorous system of checks by election workers to ensure that only lawfully cast ballots have been counted. It's essentially like a certificate acknowledging that someone completed a training course. The hard work and verification have already been completed by this point. This is just confirmation in writing. So you may see some ads claiming that election officials should deny certification or delay it. I want to be clear, election officials are just like you and me and everyone else. They have to obey by the law, and that includes certifying results.
Scott, I'll turn to you, both you and former State Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen, my guest today. Again, I'm talking with former Republican Congressman for Wisconsin, Scott Klug, Rebecca Mears, head of democracy policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund, and former State Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen. Scott, I wanted to ask you this question. Rebecca makes an excellent point. It seems that there have been movements in different states to encourage election officials not to certify results. This seems to be a Pandora's box of potential problems. Scott, based on your understanding of election processes, whether you want to keep your comments focused on Wisconsin or speak more broadly, what is your gut reaction? You have served a long time in the state. You understand election processes. You're part of the Democracy Defense Project. When you hear people encouraging election officials to maybe, you know, don't certify it on time, maybe wait a little bit, I don't know, decide whenever it is that they think it's okay to certify election results, what's your reaction to these kinds of suggestions, Scott?
Well, I think you can't make a ruling in a vacuum, right? I mean, if there's the potential of an issue, and there's been a couple of issues in states that have been raised, and I think in Pennsylvania, there was actually an incident of a non-citizen voting, which sort of now has thrown stuff, a little bit of a monkey wrench in to say, well, how often did this happen and what's the background on this specific case? Because if you do that and you're a non-citizen, it's actually a felony.
Yes.
And in this case, the person's been charged with two felonies.
Yes.
I think if you're essentially setting up a review process, if you've got questions, you know, you don't have to rush to certify the election. On the other hand, trying to create a separate slate in advance seems to be a little aggressive when there's no evidence of substantial fraud. And I'm going to go back to the same thing I talk about all the time with my Republican friends and colleagues who will complain about the 2020 election. So there's 8 congressional seats in the state of Wisconsin. Republicans hold 2, Republicans hold 6, the Democrats hold 2. On the last election in 2020, if you would have added up the votes that all the successful Republican candidates for the House got, that's 6 of them, and if you total up the votes for the 2 Republicans who lost in their elections and add those up, the fact is Donald Trump would have won Wisconsin by 40,000 votes. So there's no evidence of election fraud. If there was, they would have made it 8-for-8 for the Democrats, right? And it's just a drop off from Republican voters. And that could be an issue tomorrow for Trump in some of his states. It could be an issue for Harris tomorrow with a drop off from Democrats in some states. But there was nothing that went wrong whatsoever in Wisconsin in 2020. And so if you're basing a lot of prep work for 2024, you better be able to point to some actual fraud and abuses that happened 4 years ago.
Well, and fraud that wasn't caught by the normal election double checks and triple checks. You know, the example in Pennsylvania, I think, is emblematic of the fact that the system does work. And we catch people who are trying to vote who are non-citizens. That process works. JB, I wanted to turn to you because to me, the idea, especially in states where the certification, and I'm not talking about the selection of the electors for the purposes of casting the Electoral College votes, but the job of the local election official to say yes, as Rebecca was explaining, this is the vote total. And to do so on time is a key step. And in many jurisdictions and in the state of Wisconsin, as I understand it, that is a ministerial duty. They shall do that. They don't have an option to not do that. What's your understanding, JB? How important is it that we don't have sort of subjective judgments being inserted into the process when it is simply a matter of state law requiring an election official to say these were the vote totals?
Well, obviously, they do have to do it. It is ministerial. It is required under the law. However, it's not necessarily required. It's not necessarily always subjective. Mm. There can be objective reasons why they would delay certification. And so there shouldn't be, obviously, a subjective test. But we can't say that it's purely ministerial if they have some sort of an objective problem. And obviously, they would come under scrutiny and difficulty if they did certify when they first saw a problem or didn't have an opportunity to get it corrected yet. So there's a reason why that step exists. Obviously, it's not going to be something that gets exercised real regularly, but there's certainly a cause and occasion.
But absent something that is quite clear, that objective, and usually you have numerous election officials that are looking at the totals and looking at any objections that were made, absent some sort of clear objective reason to question a total or a failure for these multiple checks to total to the same exact number, that is a step in the process that under nearly virtually every single normal election process should simply happen in the ordinary course. And I'm thinking mostly, JB, specifically about some of the election laws that were changed in states like Georgia to inject subjectivity. Rebecca, on this very question, I've asked the question of the gentleman. I'd like to give you a chance to respond as well. In most jurisdictions, it's what are the total numbers and then pass that number along with the official seal that those are the numbers, right? Like, that's simply what's supposed to happen, right?
Absolutely. It is a routine administrative task. There are other avenues in the election process to handle legitimate concerns. For instance, post-election audits, recounts can be done, people can file lawsuits. We're seeing a lot of frivolous lawsuits now that don't have merit, but there is a process in place to handle legitimate concerns that are backed by evidence. Election certification is not that avenue. In almost every state, it is a mandatory duty that is just counting, passing on the final count of the tabulated numbers and reporting them as official with a rubber stamp, like you noted.
Scott, you and JB are part of what is called the Democracy Defense Project. First of all, if you're listening, folks, you can find out more about that at democracydefenseproject.org. Also, Cardi and I will make sure that these recent analytical pieces that Rebecca has put together, we'll make sure that those are available to you in our show notes. Scott, I wanted to give you the opportunity. Tell folks about what the Democracy Defense Project is and why you and some of your Republican colleagues alongside Democrats have gotten involved.
Well, we're trying to send the message, I think, to Wisconsin voters and voters in other battleground states that there's bipartisan support for the election system as it is. We can always improve things. And if you want, I can tell you about a cool idea that Nebraska is doing at the present time. But so similarly, Republican and Democratic leaders, for example, in Georgia, a good friend of mine, very conservative Republican Senator Saxe Chambliss, it plays the same sort of role that JB plays in our coalition here. And we wanted to make sure that we had folks from all sides of the political spectrum, from conservative to liberal, to reassure voters that when you vote tomorrow, or if you have voted already, that your vote's going to count in Wisconsin. And the democracy only survives because it's a coalition of the willing.
Yes.
And if you have people who begin to doubt the fundamental underpinnings of American democracy, we're in real trouble as a nation. And all of us here have been involved in politics in one level or another, and sometimes you win and sometimes you lose, and that's part of the system. And you've got to admit when you lost. I met Mandela Barnes, who's part of our coalition, had a painful loss to Ron Johnson very narrowly last campaign, and Mandela, to his credit, stepped back and said, "I lost. Johnson won. Good luck to you in the future." And that's the fundamental way we keep this country stapled together.
Folks, that is former Congressional Representative Republican Scott Klug. He joins me this half hour alongside his fellow Republican, former State Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen, and Rebecca Mears, the Director of Democracy Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Keep it locked. They're all sharing with you that from across the political spectrum, our leadership, those that know the most, have worked within elections, know that your vote is safe and sound. It will count. Go to myvote.wi.gov.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
The Todd Alba Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X. I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote, or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
You always have to consistently, till the day you die, stand up and fight for those rights. You got to stand up for yourself. You got to stand up for your neighbors and your friends and even folks that you don't maybe agree with politically, that they also have the very same right. And anybody trying to stop that is going absolutely against what this country is supposed to be all about. I think more people need to stand up and say, you cannot stop me from voting.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
What's up, y'all? Welcome back. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn, host of this, The Maggie Dawn Show, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got three of the best guests you could ever hope for. If you're feeling a little nervous about tomorrow, they will relieve your anxieties. Maybe not about the outcome, but about the process, because the best way to defend democracy is through democracy. We save democracy through democracy by voting. It is the one thing universally available to each and every one of us as citizens. If you haven't voted, you don't know if you are registered, all that good stuff. You don't know where your polling place is. Go to myvote.wi.gov. You can find out all that great information. Our guest this half hour, former Republican State Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen, his colleague in the Democracy Defense Project, former state Congressman Republican Scott Klug. He's with us, as well as Rebecca Mears. She's the director of democracy policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. She is a lawyer that has been involved in campaign finance, election processes for many years. So we got three experts here to help each and every one of you feel better about our election process. Representative Klug, right before the break, you were talking about working on some of these small improvements. Elections can always be made to make it easier for people to vote, to increase voter participation, to make things more administratively efficient, to make things more administratively transparent, whatever it may be. We're always trying to improve these processes where we see weaknesses. You were talking about some of the new developments in Nebraska and other states to help with some of these things. Scott, share with us.
So let me tell you two stories. One is from the 2000 election. So if you remember back to Bush-Gore, or if your parents told you about the Bush-Gore election, it's getting a little old now, the fight was over what was going on in counting centers, right? Because, you know, the votes go from your local precinct, you know, in the basement of a Lutheran church in Sheboygan or whatever the case might be, and then work their way up to larger counter centers. And during the Bush-Gore campaign, and there was a lot of distrust of what had gone on in Fort Lauderdale. In fact, since that time, the governor of Florida has actually replaced the election officials in Broward County because it was such a mess. And in the last election cycle, it worked really well. But in order to clear up this confusion about counting centers, a very obvious thing would be transparency, right? And so a number of states have now put cameras in their counting centers. But in contrast to yesterday's ugly Detroit Lion Green Bay Packer game, there's no play-by-play. And so you see these video cameras, you know, like you'd see security cameras, you know, out in the parking lot or any place you might have them. But nobody told you what was going on, right? So people bring in boxes of stuff and they take some stuff out of the box and they leave other stuff in and they put some on the third shelf and some on the fifth shelf. And it gets to be analyzed by this Bruder film with actually no explanation of what was going on. But remember, aside from that, in the counting centers themselves, and your other guests will know this better than I do, there's, you know, a legion of Republican and Democrat lawyers and volunteers overlooking at every aspect of the voting center. So that's one where I think a lot of the fiction and a lot of the conspiracy rumors popped from 2020. Now, Nebraska, I think, has got a really interesting idea. It's the only state in the country, like Rebecca's thoughts on this, that actually allows counties to subpoena poll workers the same way you subpoena people to jury duty. And just like jury duty, everybody tries to get out of it. But if you don't show up, and you have to serve in four elections, could be school board, could be county board, could be a referendum, could be a primary. You have to serve in four elections. If you don't shut up, you get show up, you literally get arrested and have to pay a fine. So in Douglas County, which is where Omaha is today, half of the people working on elections will actually be there because they got subpoenas. Mm. And let me tell you why I think this is a great idea. First of all, they're inside the voting centers and they know how it works. And they tell their neighbors when they get back how it works. In the same way that if you've ever been on a jury, you know that the system works pretty damn well and it makes you proud of the way it works. And if you're worried about a conspiracy, try to pull off a conspiracy when half the people don't even want to be there. They're only there because they'd arrested if they wouldn't show up. So I think this is a great way, first, from the education it gives to people. Secondly, a lot of people volunteer for elections out of a sense of good service, but the odds are they're probably political junkies. It'd be nice to have somebody in the voting centers who are more casual voters because I think it educates them and their circle of friends. And then finally, I think it really knocks down a lot of the possibilities of voting conspiracies because, as I said, you got half the people who don't want to be in the room, much less get involved in a cabal that's really going to send them to jail if it goes wrong. So there's the Nebraska model.
It's one of my favorite ideas. I just love this because if anybody has ever worked in a polling place or as an election inspector, it is boring. You have to go through the 8 bazillion different triple checks for the totals and all that. Once you see the sausage get made, you're like, this is very uninteresting, unsexy, uncontroversial. It is literally counting the things and then recounting them and counting. Then you count them again and you count them and then you count them again. I could go on. JB, want to give you a crack at having a last thought, and then Rebecca will close out with you. JB Van Hollen, former Republican state attorney general, your thoughts.
Well, just what DDP is all about, the Democracy Defense Project. As you mentioned earlier, our system doesn't work if people don't vote. And there are so many allegations and conspiracies, and yes, there are instances of fraud as well. All of those things get people to not vote or encourage people not to vote or discourage.
Oh, JB, go ahead. Sorry, you broke up a little bit.
Oh, the surest way to make sure your candidate doesn't win is if you don't show up to vote. So if you want to counteract any problems that you think exist out there, you got to turn out to vote. Your vote will count.
Rebecca, final thoughts.
I love the poll worker idea. I was a poll worker this past weekend, and I will refute one thing you said, Maggie. Voting is sexy. Everyone should make sure to go out there and have their voice heard. That is what democracy is about.
I love it. Four fans of democracy here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Former congressional Republican from Wisconsin, Scott Klug, former Republican Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen, and Rebecca Mears, Director of Democracy Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
News from the Center, WRCE. Dom Salvia.
Next time, Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, joins me. We will preview the election on Tuesday. Plus, what's the right way to deal with election stress? I got answers. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Lena Bloom for the Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.